Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. It is easy to forget the current federal election is not just about the party leaders. While the majority of attention focuses on them, local candidates should play an essential role when voting. At least that's the theory. Yet with all the American tariffs and threats to Canada, it is understandable. Still, there are local issues. Qualifications, affordability, housing, and more is vital. So is asking direct questions about how local candidates will serve the residents of the Northumberland-Clark riding. Here is the third candidate interview. It is with Conservative candidate Philip Lawrence. The order of airing is determined by when the campaigns scheduled their interviews. The Conservatives were third. I'm so pleased to have with me today Conservative candidate Philip Lawrence. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you, Rob. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'd like to begin by talking about the dynamics of this campaign. You are out talking to voters. What is the vibe you're getting when you're knocking on doors?
Yeah, no, thanks, Rob. That's a great question. We've been out there on quite a few doors, talked to thousands of residents. Overall, you know what, like this is still Canada. It's the greatest country in the world. And people are for the most part kind, even people who vehemently disagree with you, who are on the complete other side of the political spectrum. I had one very nice conversation with a liberal, and I'm not sure if you guys remember, but I think it was last weekend when there was freezing rain. I looked a little bit like a drowned rat. They brought me in, offered me some tea and some coffee, and we talked a little bit about our differences. We shook hands, and we had a great conversation. But overall, the what we're hearing from the majority of residents is that the last 10 years have been really, really tough, right? So, I mean, I can throw all the macroeconomic stats at you, but it really becomes real when you're talking to people. I've talked to a number of adults who are living at their parents' house, and they've done all the right things, right? These are folks who have gotten a trade, who have gone to university, and are busting their humps to make the best of their lives, but they're continuing to struggle because they can't afford a house and they can't start a family and all the challenges that come with that. And so people are really looking for hope. So it's exciting to be out there and perhaps be on the precipice of perhaps delivering some of that hope.
This year, your party was holding a commanding lead over the other parties, and that has changed. It's now a very tight race, both nationally and locally, depending on how you read the polls. When you look at the 338canada.com, it shows Liberals are within striking distance in Northumberland Clark. By that, I mean it is within the margin of error, which is 8 points. However, the odds of you winning are very high. How is your campaign responding to this tighter race locally?
Yeah, no, that's another great question, Rob. So, in 2019, we were actually favored to lose, according to 338. And so, I remember those challenges. And even in 2021, where we ended up winning by, I think, about 10, 11 points, we were at points at parity with the other side. But, you know, I really try not to let those things affect me. What I want to stay focused on the residents of Northumberland, what will be Northumberland Clark, and what was Northumberland Peterborough South, and having those discussions. And it's really an opportunity for me to hear what people are having to say. And I like to sign off most of my interviews, as it's a privilege and honor to serve. And this is the opportunity where I get to hear people and find out how I should be serving them. So we're going to work as hard as we can. I was given a great advice by by a former now retired politician who said, you know what, Phil, go out there and campaign every day like you're 2% behind. And that's what we're going to do. And we'll continue to work as hard as we can. And we'd be honored and privileged to once again to serve the people if that's their choice.
But have you tweaked anything? Have you maybe placed a little more emphasis on one area of the campaign or one set of policies?
Yeah, no, but we haven't. Like, we're, and it's really not in response to the polling, candidly. But we'll look at different like things have evolved since 2019, and things evolve day to day. And we'll just look at how people are responding and what people, how we can get as many ears to listen to what we're saying and what people are responding to. Right, in 2019, social media was still very much there, but it's gotten to be a lot bigger deal now, right? So and so we will put more of our time and more of invest more of our campaign dollars into social media, because that you get more ears there and eyes.
That's really interesting, because I would suggest to you that maybe social media has turned into a real septic tank. And with all the misinformation and disinformation out there, how do you get your message out to people?
No, that's another great question, Rob. Really appreciate that. We try to do as many sort of unscripted, real type of posts as we can. Even when I give speeches, it's very much from my heart, and try to be as genuine and as sincere as I can. Because yeah, people are tired of hearing talking points. I think you're right there, Rob. But I think the way that you break through that is by bringing real life examples and bringing making it as genuine and as real as possible, right? That's why I enjoy listening to your podcast, Rob, because you keep it genuine, you keep it real, right? Like, there's lots of podcasts on there, but there's lots of podcasts that simply sort of regurgitate various parties' talking points. It's when you get past that and get into people's real concerns that I think that people get more attentive to what you're saying.
In the off chance that someone is new to the area or has just joined this riding, who is Philip Lawrence?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, the first thing I would say is if the best thing you can do is to ask your neighbors if you haven't heard who I am. And I'm very privileged to have worked to have the best community, I think, in the entire world here in Northumberland, Peterborough South, now Northumberland Clark. But I'm a very proud dad of two wonderful children, an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old, an 11-year-old whose hockey team went 46-1, the Durham Crusaders, and is a goaltender, and a beautiful, wonderful, intelligent daughter who just competed in Port Hope at the Capitol Theater at a dance competition where she received platinum, gold, and high gold awards for her dances. I'm a committed husband, as well as completely committed to our community and to making our country the best possible place to live.
What did you do before you became a politician?
Yeah, I worked. I worked for Sun Life Financial. I worked for a decade there, and before that, I practiced law. I'm a lawyer by training, and also did my MBA at the Schuller School of Business. And so, that's a little bit about me.
What do you do for fun?
Right. So, you know what I do, which is any moms or dads that are in the same sort of vintage and section of life that I am, I'm sure will be able to understand. I drive my kids places. That's what I do for fun. And in all seriousness, I take my son to his hockey games and sit there in cold arenas and drink my Tim Hortons and talk to my fellow hockey dads about the comings and goings of our community. And then I hang out with the dance moms at the various dance competitions. And we hang out and we talk about the upcoming dance competitions and whether and how the choreo is going, not choreography, it's choreo. All the dance moms and dads will get that, and we look forward to the next competition and watching our children grow.
What's your guilty pleasure?
Okay, this is where I have to make a confession, Rob. Okay, you might want to, I'm not sure if you're recording right now, but you want to make sure that you're recording right now here. So, for those folks who know me well, I'm a little bit nerdy. It is who I am. And so anytime that Star Trek is on, it was very bad for me. It was very good. I'm normally a pretty productive guy. I like to get the most in a day. But when they put Netflix when they put Star Trek on Netflix, that was troublesome for me. So I have a little bit of a Star Trek addiction. I'm confessing to this to the whole world right now. And it doesn't matter whether it is the Jean-Luc Picard version or the William Shatner version. I am completely addicted to Star Trek.
Let's talk about some of the issues. There is a lot of focus on the party leaders in this election, and with good reason, due to the tariffs and affordability. But people are trying to decide who's the best to lead the country in a time of crisis. What do you bring to the table that qualifies you to be sent to Ottawa on behalf of the voters of this riding to deal with these complex times?
Thank you. Thank you very much. As we went over my CV a bit, of course, I've had the privilege and the blessing of being educated at some of the best educational facilities in Canada, including, of course, Osgoode Hall Law School, Schiller School of Business. I've had the opportunity to work in finance. And then for the last 5 years, I've served as the member of parliament here. And so I've had a number of different roles, including shadow minister for transportation, which was my most recent role, shadow minister for economic development, shadow minister for national revenue. And so I've gotten a good understanding over that time of how government works and to develop the ideas that will be useful for hopefully Prime Minister Poilievre in order to negotiate, in order to push back against the economic attack from down south. I would also say that, Rob, that in kindergarten I earned the moniker of plays well with others, and I have kept that going. We had three private members' bills, one to help charities, one for furtherance of human rights, and one to help farmers. Two of those three had the support of the NDP and the Green Party, and the third actually had the support of the Liberals, the NDP and the Green Party. And in fact, my bill to help charities was liked so much that the Liberals actually rolled it into their budget. And so if they want to keep stealing my ideas, I'll buy it. But there aren't many folks who have been in opposition who've had pieces of legislation actually come into law. And we've accomplished that through the Liberals utilizing our ideas on charities. And so whether we're in government or whether we're in opposition, I'm going to be a steadfast voice for the people of Northumberland and Clark, in addition to getting things done, even from the opposition benches, if that is the will of people.
But when you think about it, Philip, the situation with the Americans is highly volatile. I mean, there's a lot of chaos trying to figure out what's going to come up next. So how does your experience match up for dealing with this challenge of never knowing what's going to happen next?
Yeah, no, in my 5 years I've been through, we've seen a lot of things happen, right? So I can still remember actually being in the chamber when we had just started in the sphere. That was 2019, so 2020, my apologies, spring of 2020, when we were watching on the TVs as they were shutting down Italy because of COVID-19, right? And thinking, oh my goodness, that can't come here, can it? And of course, it did. And I remember being there actually in the chamber when we all voted to press pause on Parliament. And a while, if you actually look back, Rob, at the footage there, you can see the benches on both sides were all congregated together. I remember actually commenting to the other individual saying, well, shouldn't we be spreading out? It was so early in COVID that we were unaware of the protocols and what was required for COVID. So in my time as the member of Parliament for Northumberland, Peterborough South, we've seen many different challenges. And I like I said, I've had a number of different roles under different leaders, under different in different governments trying to help. But the one thing that's my North Star is the people of Northumberland, Northumberland Peterborough South, now Northumberland Clark, and And our leader, Pierre Poilievre, actually said this, and I think he said it well in caucus. If you were not starting every day and finishing every day thinking about what the folks in what's most important to the folks in your community, if that's not driving you 100% of the time, then you're not doing your job as a member of parliament. And so I'll continue to focus. I mean, at the end of the day, there's lots of distractions. There's lots of things we can't control, but I can control being a steadfast voice for the people of Northumberland and Clark and Northumberland and Peterborough.
There's a lot of talk about what governing parties will do if elected to deal with affordability. And yet we continue to see prices rise. Grocery prices never seem to go down. What is your party going to do to make groceries more affordable?
Yeah, no, thanks. Thank you for that. And actually, even back as early as 2019, that was a concern and an issue for me. And that's why we put forward a piece of legislation, which was to remove the carbon tax on natural gas and propane for farmers. Ultimately, if we're able to reduce the costs for farmers, will be able to reduce the costs for food. And so right from 2019, our offices were focused around trying to reduce the cost going forward. In a bigger macroeconomic issue, though, every time that a government prints money, we get inflation. It happened in Roman times when they actually split coins and they thought, you know what, here's how we can be wealthier. We'll make every coin that was one into two coins, which created inflation back for 2000 years. You know what? Quantitative easing is not actually that different from what happened in Roman times. When you hit the printing press when you flood our economy with hundreds of millions of dollars and hundreds of billions of dollars, what happens is you get each dollar becomes worth less, which creates inflation. And so we're going to have a dollar for dollar rule where, just like at your household, Rob, and I'm sure like at all the listeners' households, there is a scarcity, a finite amount of resources. And so if we want to take on a new expense, if there's a new program that we feel is important, we have to find a savings somewhere else. And that anchor, that financial anchor, will allow us to prevent the money printing presses from going crazy.
Well, which will, yeah, Philip, go ahead, Rob. That makes lots of sense. Sure, I can relate to that. We all do that at our home budget. But when you're talking about government, then you're gonna take dollars from one place and put them in another. Right. What's gonna get cut?
And we will have a fully costed platform out there. It'll be vetted by the nonpartisan parliamentary budget office. So every dollar that we show will spend. There are lots of areas where we can reduce expenditures. And so I'll rattle off a couple here. So hundreds of millions of dollars for consultants. We believe that Deloitte and others can do with a little bit less. And we fundamentally believe in our civil service and that they're more than capable of doing most of the work, and that we don't need hundreds of millions of dollars for consultants. The Asian Infrastructure Bank, also hundreds of millions of dollars that we didn't need to spend. $60 million for the Arrive Scam app. $50 million for a MasterCard. $10 million or more
Philip, yeah. I know the list, but I think what's really important here, though, is that, you know, past governments have promised this, both sides of the aisle, all the parties, they promise this. And then when we get down to it, the consultants get hired. There's scandals and money gets, if you want to call it, wasted or spent in other areas. What about healthcare? Is that going to suffer? Are we going to, you know, seniors going to suffer? Who's going to pay the price to do of this besides the consultants?
So let me be clear on a couple of things. Pierre is committed to increasing healthcare spending, which is the same as the Liberal commitment in the current government. We're going to maintain healthcare spending, and we are going to make sure that seniors are actually in a better position by allowing them to earn up to $35,000 tax-free. Do you know, Rob, What do you think with clawbacks and tax rate, the full marginal, the full tax, including clawbacks, that a senior who earns about $25,000, $30,000, what do you think their full with clawback? Over 50%. Because GIS is clawed back at 50 cents on a dollar. And so we need to enable seniors to go out there who want to work and are able to work to make a reasonable dollar. I understand that where your questions are coming, and no politician, no government has ever been perfect, and you're absolutely right. But there are degrees in life, right? And those degrees matter. Right?
Let's go back to what you were saying about seniors, because it sounds like you're telling seniors who are struggling to go get a job rather than increasing CPP or OAS payments.
No, 100% not. No, absolutely not. I'm saying what I said, Rob, is that for those who want to work, and there are many folks who do want to work and make it continue their legacy. And right now, for those seniors who want to work, especially those at the lower end income spectrum, they might be facing a tax rate with clawbacks of over 50%. I don't think anyone earning under $50,000 should be facing a clawback rate and tax rate of over 50%. I just fundamentally think it's not fair. Well, and in addition to that, we're going to put in place a tax cut, which will put more money in seniors. We're looking at a 15% tax cut to the average Canadian as well, which will help seniors as well, which is more money in their pockets, right? So
you talk about the lowest income tax bracket. Can you just, for clarification, what does that include? What is the income range that we're talking about?
So the for an individual who's earning $57,000 a year, they will be saving $800. So the lowest income tax bracket, I apologize, I don't have it right here, will be reduced by 2.25 points.
All right.
Which calculates out for someone who's earning $57,000 a year, they will receive a 15% reduction on their income tax.
So that's about $900, and I think also a two income family will save about $1,800 a year.
Exactly.
But if I'm a single person living in an apartment in Northumberland, that savings maybe covers half a month's rent. So how does this help anybody?
Right. So thanks very much for that, Rob. And certainly, you know what, people are struggling out there, and this is just part of the solution. It's not the entire solution. And so we're looking at an economy which is the worst since the Great Depression. We're looking at housing prices that have doubled. And we have a plan to conquer both those things. One is to get housing prices back under control. And Pierre's got a detailed housing plan to help drive down, to help make housing more affordable for people again. And that's like when I talk to folks in Northumberland, you're absolutely right, man. They are struggling. And even folks with quote unquote good jobs, people earning $100,000 a year, they are really struggling, Rob. And so, the tax cut is not going to solve everything, but it's certainly a great step in the right direction.
I'd like to come back to affordable housing in just a moment, but
yeah, for sure.
I'd like to talk about agriculture because it's one of the largest industries in Northumberland County. Now, the current United States-Mexico-Canada agreement allowed access to certain markets that were controlled previously by supply management, much to the angst of local farmers. What guarantees can you provide that this erosion will not happen again, or possibly the removal of the supply management system?
Yeah, no, I am, as I said numerous times on the record, in fact, I actually broke ranks Pierre as well was on our side and voting for a Bloc Québécois bill to support supply management, where the bill, which unfortunately, because the Liberals stopped it, did not receive royal assent, which would prevent the trading off of supply management on other trade agreements. So 100% supportive of supply management. I will do everything in my power to make sure that supply management is protected. And I'm positive that a conservative government will do the exact same. If a Liberal government gets in power, that's, like I said, they've already got a record, as you mentioned, of trading off supply management and access to our market in exchange for other things.
Because this is a big deal to the Americans, and it's been mentioned multiple times by the president. How do you stand up to something like that if it's a deal breaker?
Yeah, no. So what you do is number one. I don't know if I can make any clearer than that, right? So there are red lines in this world, and that's one for me. And so I will 100% stand up. But if I could just, bear with me for just a little bit, I think part of it, though, is context as well. When you sit down in negotiation, or if you sit down and you play cards, part of it is sort of the personalities and being able to know whether however it's playing. But ultimately, if you've got two strong card players, it'll come down to the cards you have. And quite frankly, Canada has been weakened over the last decade. Like I said, we've had the lowest GDP per capita since the Great Depression, which means we've really had the weakest economy since the Great Depression. Australia's GDP per capita has grown 18 times as fast as ours. The United States has grown 50 times as fast as ours. We haven't built pipelines. We haven't built infrastructure. We need to have a stronger economy so that we can sit down and negotiate. And whether it be protecting supply management, protecting the auto sector, or building our economy, or protecting our other industry against tariffs, our position is made that much stronger with every pipeline we build, every business that starts, every job that's created.
With all due respect, though, those projects take a long time. Rebuilding industries take a long time. And deals with trade, we need now.
Right.
What do we do in the interim? Because right. In the short term, somebody's got to sit down and fix this problem. So what do you do in the short term to get the economy where you need it to make the deals that you're talking about?
Yeah. So the first part of the solution you already said, Rob, that's what Pierre Poilievre has called for. He, if in fact elected prime minister, he has called for the immediate renegotiation of CUSMA. So we stop this uncertainty that's been going on, because as you've seen in the markets for the last couple of days, right? Fortunately, Canada wasn't necessarily the target of this, but everyone who has an RRSP out there or is closing sure. retirement is looking at that, right?
So, but again, with all due respect, Philip, you just said, you know, we need a strong hand. And if we can't transform the economy in the short term, we don't have a strong hand. So to rush into getting a new deal, where's our strong hand? To use your metaphor.
Yeah. Thank you very much. So there are actions we can take immediately. And markets do they look into the future, right? And so you can signal markets and create strength within the economy by taking the right steps. So reducing taxes, reducing regulation, and also I think that Pierre's announcement to make sure that we maintain that one of the most important relationships in life, that between employer-employee with substantial funding and liquidity to those companies that are affected are critically important going forward.
I'd like to go back to agriculture for just a second, because late last year there was a public meeting of a potential sale of 1,600 acres of prime agricultural land to a developer between Cobourg and Port Hope. Farmers and others have expressed multiple times the significance of saving farmland from development. What is your position in terms of preserving agricultural land from development?
Thanks very much. And Rob, I'll be honest with you. I am not aware of the particulars of the details of the situation. So I'll just talk about the generalities. And so, you know what, politics, and you do a great job of sort of pulling this out in your interviews, Rob, it's often a battle of different priorities, right? On one hand, with the topic you've just brought up, we need homes. There's an entire generation that is desperate to get a house. On the other hand, we will need to eat, Rob. I know that's news to you. for generations to come. Sorry, you're gonna say? Okay. For generations to come. I believe that we can do this intelligently. Like I don't think that there is any bright line, any easy rule that we can say we don't develop here, we do develop here. I think that every situation is unique. In general, I want to protect as much as we can of particularly highly productive farmland. My neighbor, Charles Stevens, of course, who owns Wilmont Farms, best blueberries in all the world right there, has recently put his land into a farmland trust, which means for, I believe he said, the next 999 years, you folks can fact check me on that. I believe that's correct, because he thinks that's very important. And when you look at sort of that productive farmland, which is on the former seabed of what Lake Ontario was during the glacier period, right? It's the same sort of soil that the vineyards of Niagara, and I think it is of critical importance that we protect as much as that as we can. At the same time, there's many areas where we can develop and infill and grow, particularly in some of our urban areas where I think we have the potential. I'm an all of the above type of a guy. And so if we want fabricated houses, that's great. Tiny homes, that's great. We can be creative in protecting that farmland. But at the same time, we do have to look towards where possible, expanding the amount of homes that are available.
We've been talking about affordable housing earlier in our conversation. There's all these policies that we talk about, and we talk about it in generalities. What specifically do you see as being necessary in Northumberland to address this problem?
Yeah, and so I think I'll try and distill down some of the national proposals and have them and just go over what their implications will be locally. So one of the things that that Pierre has talked about and has a video even talking about today is what we call housing taxes. And so those are what is commonly referred to as development fees. We've seen a dramatic increase in development fees in Clarington's just went up, and that's part of the riding as well, and Northumberland's as well. And so we need to reduce the government take on every house. So the average house across from Canada is $250,000 in taxes. That's every door. That's the average across Canada. And now we would be slightly below that because we are not in an urban area like Toronto, and they're higher in Toronto. But Clarington's are high, and Northumberland's aren't inexpensive either. And so one of the things that we need to do is work with our municipalities to reduce those housing taxes. We're going to do our part federally. We're going to take the GST off up to a $1.3 million house. That'll save you about $50,000. It's estimated that from coast to coast that we can save up to another $50,000 by pushing down those local housing taxes, which are, like I said, commonly referred to as development fees. That's $100,000 we can reduce right off the top there. And so the other part, though, that's as much an issue, and I've talked to folks in all sectors, and everyone agrees with this. There's far too long of delays and too much red tape when it comes to building a house. So I'll give you an example. And so we had one individual who wanted to build a garage on his property, and granted it's not a house, but I think it serves the example well. And so the municipality asked for 5 different studies. Those studies cost $100,000 to do. It happened to be that he talked to his neighbor who wanted to build, I think it was a second house on his property or something like that. The municipality asked for those same studies, even though they were completely duplicative. So for another $100,000. So we can eliminate red tape. We can reduce the housing costs. We need to reduce delays, and we need to take the GST off of new homes. And a lot of this, Rob, you'll probably say, well, some of this is municipal and some of this is provincial, but we need to work with all of our partners. It's something where we've got to collaborate together, because we can't simply afford to have $250,000 go to the government for every house that gets built in Canada.
That's all great if you have a job and you have the resources to begin with. But what about homeless people? I mean, this is an ongoing issue and a very divisive one in Northumberland. Now, the Liberals touted the national housing strategy as a solution in the past, but how is your party's proposal going to make a difference here?
Yeah, and I've spent time at a couple of the shelters in our community, and you know what really got me, Rob, was the fact that of course the suffering and the difficult times. I mean, it's enough to break your. I think any human being, I don't care who you are, it's enough to break your heart. But the observation that I had is how many of the folks in those shelters had jobs, right? That's how bad it is. Like, you can be working full time, and some of these were not minimum wage jobs. They still could not afford housing. So part of it is getting that housing built. The other part of it is, and it was supply and demand. So the more houses you have built, the more supply you have, that makes housing by definition more affordable. But the other thing that I was perhaps the, we've got a lot of great announcements out there, Rob. But I'll be honest with you, I have one that's my favorite, and that's Pierre's announcement to have 50,000 new spots for folks who are dealing with dependency issues on substances. Because a lot of the folks who are struggling are either dealing with either mental health issues or substance abuse issues or both. It is the underlying cause of much of poverty. And you know, and I've seen it up close. I've had loved ones who have battled substance abuse, and it is the most heart-wrenching thing to watch. And the fact that that we've stepped up and we're saying we're going to make 50,000 more spots coast to coast, you know, that will save lives. And hearing some of the stories of people who have gone through drug addiction and then come back to have beautiful families and great jobs. I mean, that's why I'm in this, Rob. And that's what makes me so proud to be part of this team.
With all due respect, though, 50,000 spots. I was just reading the other day that in Vancouver alone, there's talk of like 250,000 people suffering from drug addiction. And, you know, I appreciate the sentiment and the sincerity, but this drug crisis in our community, let's bring it down local for a moment. If your party wins, can you explain how it would roll out in Northumberland? Can you show us how these policies and proposals will be implemented if you form a government here in Northumberland?
Thank you. Thank you for that, Robin. And I appreciate this. And so obviously, when we put the policy out, there will be greater detail brought forward. But here's what I would like to see. I would like to see some of the institutions and facilities that have been successful from coast to coast. And Pierre talked about this a little bit of an announcement. And we actually had some of the folks who run these institutions come to our caucus meeting. I'm not supposed to talk about a caucus, but I've just broken a rule there for you, Rob. But they came and they talked about their success rates. Some of these institutions have rates of success of 60-70%. For those of you who don't have knowledge of that, that is a massive number, because it usually takes people at 4, 5, 6, 7 times to remove the grips of these horrible, horrible substances. And I will advocate and push hard to get as many of those institutions to operate here in Northumberland, and so that we can get people, instead of throwing someone in jail who was maybe at a party one time and was having a couple of drinks and just wanted to have a little bit more fun, and then found themselves addicted to one of these terrible substances, instead of putting them in jail or criticizing them, we want them to get into rehabilitation. As my good friend and former Green candidate Jeff Wheeldon said to me, and I know it's not his, but he was the first. I can still remember him seeing in a debate. You know what? We're really all only one bad decision away from being in a very bad spot in life. And so for those folks who have maybe been preyed upon by drug dealers, or like I said, just in a moment of weakness, made a bad decision, we need to get them out of a potential lifetime of suffering. And like I said, it's my commitment to the folks in Northumberland and Clark that if I'm elected, I will push like hell to make sure we have as many spots available and we get as many people who are addicted to these substances, give them the opportunity to get themselves clean. And quite frankly, I extend that not only to those, to hopefully the spots that we get here in Northumberland, Clark, but myself personally, My constituency office, if reelected, has always been and will be always open to anyone who's dealing with a mental health issue or substance issue. It's not our direct responsibility, but if you're in pain, we'll do everything we can to help you.
Your party's promising to cut the industrial carbon tax. Now, Canada's Commissioner of the Environment and Sustainable Development says things are not happening fast enough to meet our country's commitment to reach zero emissions. How important is it, in the face of all the challenges Canada is facing right now, not to lose sight of our commitment to climate change?
Yeah, thanks very much. And we'll, of course, have our full environmental plan. But we are committed. I am personally committed, and I've been committed since 2019. If we pulled up the tape from the 2019 interview, you'd probably hear me saying that committed to GHG reduction. What I would do, though, is we need to put it in a global context, right? So what we can't do is put in place a high industrial carbon tax that says to a Canadian industry or Canadian business that Canada is not the place to operate in, and which would be devastating, because what will happen will so instead of that company operating with the highest environmental standards in the world here in Canada, perhaps getting their energy either from the hydroelectric dams in Winnipeg or from the nuclear power in Darlington, both the GHG free, or Niagara Falls down in Niagara, they will relocate. It is a open world, and so they and this is not me saying, this is what's happened to other places in the world where unfortunately they generate power with coal, which creates a large amount of emissions. And so we need to look at this as a global picture. And so if we can, we need to keep those companies here. We need to invest in technology. I'm a huge fan for and proponent of nuclear energy. Nuclear energy provides stable, when safe, and clean energy that will allow us both to grow, allow us to electrify, will allow us to grow forward in a GHG free. But the worst thing we could do, like I said, is to drive industry out of Canada and drive it to other countries in the world where we actually increase the amount of GHGs by having the coal factory. See, so I mean, we can feel good, but it's the ultimate greenwashing if we drive industry out of our country into countries where environmental standards are more lax.
We were talking earlier about social media and online and the misinformation and disinformation. Campaign Life, a pro-life anti-abortion organization, has endorsed you each time you have run, including this time on their website. You've also online been said to have supported a petition regarding Bill 6 in 2021, which was an anti-conversion therapy legislation that was going to be passed by the Liberals. How do you respond to this information online?
Thanks. Thanks very much, Rob. So first is what I would say is, you know, I've talked to thousands of people. You know how many times abortions come up? Zero. Canadians are interested in affording housing, in affording groceries, and that's my concern. That being said, just so we can put this issue to bed, is that a Conservative government, nor myself as a member, will not put forward any legislation that would any way affect a woman's right to choose.
What about the petition regarding Bill 6, the conversion therapy legislation that was passed by the Liberals?
I voted for the conversion therapy ban. I've long since had a standard. You can look at the petitions that have out there. There are a wide variety of range. It's not my job to govern which petitions constituents want to put up there. I'm a believer in democracy, and so you can look at the petitions I've had on a wide variety of subjects. I neither endorse or support those petitions. I simply put them up as from my constituents.
If you could sit down on a couch in a voter's home who was undecided at this point, what would you say to them in 30 seconds to convince them to give you their support on election day?
Thanks, Rob. It's been the privilege and honor of a lifetime to serve as your MP for the last 5 years. I've worked hard to fight for you As you've seen, although for the last 10 years with the Liberal government in charge, we've seen declining standards of living, we've seen increasing costs of living, times have been tough. We've got an entire generation that's almost given up the dream of home ownership. If you believe that the best candidate can do is to be one of the worst performing economic in the OECD, to fall out of the G7, to have rising rates of crime, then you should consider giving the Liberals a fourth mandate. But if you believe in the hope, if you believe in the prosperity of Canada, if you believe in the promise of Canada, then please consider Philip Lawrence and the Conservative Party.
Philip Lawrence, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
No worries. Thanks, Rob.
That was Conservative candidate Philip Lawrence. For the full interview with bonus questions and answers, go to the Consider This Northumberland podcast on Apple or Spotify. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.